This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, you could certainly make the case, ladies and gentlemen. We are right in the heart of political season. Part of our final spotlight segment on Long Island, Mark Smolinaro, Dutchess County executive, made it official a few weeks ago, throwing his hat into the gubernatorial ring on the GOP side. And always good to have him back. Actually, a very big favor. Last time we had Mark on, a lot of people came to us and said, you know, very impressive. Let's get him on again. And we had. So welcome him. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jay. Thank you. I'm happy with the feedback. That's good news, right?
It is good news. Suffolk's responding, and I got to tell you, very appropriate to have you on a morning with the Long Island Railroad, Marcus, once again, showing its warts, you know, the switch problems and everything else. We got a new leader, Mr. Eng. Hopefully we'll do the right thing, making the rounds regarding some of the stations around the island, but you know, this has been a big topic of conversation since the start of the year. The problems of the good old Long Island Railroad.
Well, listen, whether it's the Long Island Railroad, Metro North, or the problems in the city subway system, I mean, it's clear that not only has the MTA become almost to a degree unmanageable, right? There's also a question of priorities. I mean, when things go well, the governor takes credit. When things go poorly, it's Penn Station's problem. It's Amtrak's problem. It's someone else's. It's the mayor of the city's problem. At the end of the day, listen, where the rubber hits the road, the trains have to run on time, and the system needs to function effectively, and there are too many lives that are being disrupted every day. So I just think that it's a matter of setting priorities, making sure politics doesn't get in the way of solving the problem, and put real professionals in charge of the system so that, again, whether it's Long Island or in the city or the Hudson Valley, families and commuters and those who rely on the transit system have an effective, responsive, and safe transit system. And that, I think, is what we need to do, focus on priorities and make the investments to make sure that the system functions.
Listen, no disrespect to Philip Eng. I don't care if you have Casey Stengel running this thing right now. This is a poorly managed system, has been for a while. I know Patrick Nowakowski out the door as the president, resigned, in parentheses. But nonetheless, you know, This goes back a long time, Mark. You know, the funding and everything else, not enough attention. You want to tell me, after all these storms, after Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, you know, we find out we have an antiquated system here regarding signals and lights and everything. I mean, it's just an absolute mess, broken rails. It is awful. It's beyond. And then if you want to throw at me in 2019, we'll go for another rate hike. I mean, you got to be kidding me here. You know, listen, somebody has to take the reins here. I don't get it.
Well, it's political interference and it's bad priorities. I mean, you know, the head of the MTA, of course, doesn't necessarily respond to the MTA board, responds to the governor. I mean, I think the first place to start is to make sure that whoever runs the system is a transit professional and that he or she is responsible to the MTA board, not a governor. And listen, this isn't new, but gubernatorial and political interference has allowed us has allowed the system to decay. And you know, listen, where I come from, you have to pave the streets, the bridges have to be repaired, and people need to be able to commute. And you get those things done before you make monstrous investments elsewhere. The issue isn't that the MTA and the Long Island Railroad doesn't have enough money. The issue is how the money's being spent and the fact that consistently there is political interference that redirects priorities. You know, we want the system to function, and that needs to be the top priority, a safe, responsive, and affordable transit system. And then from there we can make advancements. But that's been what's plagued us. It is, again, it's political interference and lack of or poor priorities.
Talking with Mark Molinaro, Dutchess County executive. Happens to be running for governor on the GOP side. I'll do a little bit of a primary in order to get a crack at Mr. Cuomo or maybe Ms. Nixon. I got to tell you, a lot of pressure. Maybe underestimate. That's a whole other story, though. Getting the working family's...
Well, I guess it is. I mean, listen, what's clear is there is a growing, and has been a growing displeasure with a governor who came into office, and we many of us believed that and hoped that there'd be a new day in Albany, but instead what we've gotten, continued erosion of our infrastructure. We have a state that's less affordable today, being tax day, right, the official federal tax day. New Yorkers are reminded that New York State has the highest tax burden of any state in America. It is more costly than it once was, and this state government is more corrupt and less accountable than ever before. So, you know, whether it's me, whether it's Cynthia Nixon or anyone else, you know, I just think we represent what many New Yorkers on Long Island and elsewhere know, and that just is that we can do better. We can make the state affordable. We can rein in the state government, make it accountable, and ultimately provide opportunity for people by lowering property taxes, focusing on our priorities. You know, make sure the government of New York is accountable to the people, and that our services are efficient and affordable.
No question. And you know, you talk about the declining numbers for the governor. Mark, I think it's like 57% or so who do not approve of what he is doing. I mentioned Ms. Nixon, Cynthia, you know, she's cut into that lead. You know, I mean, you know, listen, that's something you get. Listen, when you hold a 66% to 19% lead and now you're at 58 to 27, you got to keep an eye open there. But that's a whole nother. Let's get into a key word. You mentioned spending. $4.4 billion deficit for this state. You know, the budget coming through. Give me your take. Listen, I thought a little too much in areas, not enough in others. I thought education took a hit, in my opinion, took a hit, especially locally here. It doesn't bode well. I'm not happy about it. But give me the Molinaro take right now regarding the state budget.
Well, again, it was rushed through without the ability for legislators to read the budget, let alone the public or others to understand its impact, and that's just not the way you govern. It's certainly not any way you or I would either run a business or I can run a local government. I mean, so number one, we have to change that. The negotiation of budgets with three or four people in a room isn't appropriate. You've got to open it up and engage people so they understand these major decisions. There was no significant commitment to property tax relief, and I just think that, again, if you want to get serious about where we are as a state, you've got to rein in spending, and it's not a matter of diminishing or eliminating services. It's making sure they function effectively and efficiently. We've done that. I inherited a $40 million budget gap, and in 4 years, we transformed it into a $20 million surplus and still enhanced the services while cutting property taxes. You can do that if you modernize state government and you make the system efficient and effective. And I just think that whether it's education and how we spend the dollars, we need to make sure more money or the money we spend gets to the students, engages families and school districts in an effective way. I have a serious concern about the way this state handles special education, for instance. And frankly, I don't think this governor has embraced the real challenges facing those living with developmental disabilities. This budget didn't confront that as an issue. And again, there is not a significant commitment to property tax relief, which is the real driver behind why people are leaving and the high cost of living and high cost of business in New York.
We are talking with Mark Molinaro, Dutchess County executive. He's running for governor. I tell you, even your opponent in the party says you have a lot of momentum, Mark. I got to tell you that much. You know, you've been endorsed by an ever-growing number of Republican and Conservative Party leaders, and that's got to be refreshing to you. But let's before we get into that, I just want to get in. You know, the property taxes loom large, you know, here on the island.
Sure.
I think a lot of people were appalled about, you know, some possible solutions from Andrew Cuomo. You know, the fact, make it a charitable contribution to kind of write off some of this stuff. Good luck with that as far as, you know, with the IRS allowing that stuff. You know, you can't tell me that that's going to be the overall solution or the payroll tax, a disaster there. I mean, that's a disgrace to come out with that information, in my opinion.
It's pure bait and switch. You know, now admittedly, you know, folks like Congressman Pete King and others made the argument that it would have been better if the federal tax bill provided New York and other states like us at least a grace period to confront the fact that we are a high tax state. But the fact is, New Yorkers didn't choose to be a high tax state, and what the governor's created is just a complex maze with no guaranteed outcome. So governments are now at the local level going to create new layers of government that you can contribute to. And oh, by the way, there's no explanation as to how those charitable organizations are really accountable to the public. So we're creating now a new layer of shadow government and a payroll tax, which is optional. So at the end of the day, New Yorkers are going to end up paying multiple revenue streams. And you know what happens when New York creates multiple revenue streams? They end up raising those revenue streams. And in our world, those are just tax increases. It's continuous burden placed on taxpayers with no guaranteed outcome. The solution is to drive down state and local taxes, and there is a way to do it without devastating services. Just look at Medicaid alone in this state. Albany forces more Medicaid spending down onto the backs of property taxpayers than any other state in America. And I think it's correct to say that New York State county property taxpayers pay three times more for Medicaid than every county in America combined. So just reining in and making that system more efficient, the state's slow take back of Medicaid, you can drive down property taxes and provide real relief. Real property tax relief means economic growth, means business opportunity, means more money in people's pockets, and creates greater stability in the economy. That ought to be our focus. That's how you grow the economy. That's how you put money back in the pockets of hardworking families who don't have the money to pay to Albany anymore.
No question. Mark Spilanaro, Dutchess County Executive, gubernatorial candidate, GOP, could be the lone individual in that party. Has a ton of momentum now ever since he officially announced, besides the property taxes, Mark, it's the jobs. You know, it's trying to keep businesses here. That is a big problem.
I'll let you finish, but they're all connected.
No question about it. And that is a big concern. You know, I talk with all of these, big wigs out here, and, you know, it's the same deal. You know, we got to keep the young people. Give me how you're going to keep young people here. I don't want to hear about the Ronkonkoma Hub and Heartland Town Square, these projects coming into play when I'm a grandfather. You know, quite frankly, you know, we need relief now, and there's got to be something. You know, when you look at both counties, Mark, $150 million plus deficit, you know, to me, it's a trickle-down effect of what we see up in Albany as far as what we see locally here. I mean, it is a tough deal. I don't want to hear about red light cameras with revenue and everything else. We need solutions. You know, we need solutions now. We can't wait. Too many people leaving, too many businesses leaving.
We have to stop talking about new ways to tax and fine people to generate revenue for government and talk about ways to make government more efficient. You know, from my perspective, taking tax money from hardworking, overtaxed families and giving it in the guise of economic development to those who are politically connected to the governor and outright checks is to compensate for the fact that they took too much money from hardworking taxpayers to begin with is not economic development. I mean, what we need to do is drive down property tax and energy and insurance costs that makes it easier for businesses to function. And the state ought to be partnering with local governments to create the streamlined regulations necessary, conduct the environmental reviews necessary, so that a project, when it is presented, doesn't take 7, 10, 8, 11 years to make it through a local planning and zoning process. But instead, what this governor does is make the decision from Albany, swoop in at a press conference, and then leave you with the expectation that and the work to get the job done. Instead, what we need to do, I think, is, again, partner with those municipalities, local governments, drive down, make the regulatory process easier, have the state invest in the front-end cost to drive down the cost for the development, and ultimately provide meaningful property tax relief. That's how you accelerate economic growth. It's how you make job opportunities real, and it's sustainable growth. It isn't just, you know, one shot in the arm. It's the kind of thing that supports innovation and grows job opportunities. We've seen it work all across the country. New York needs to engage in it.
Mark Molinaro, a couple of minutes left. He's running for governor. Yeah. GOP side could be the sole individual. It's all said and done on that side of the party. I'll tell you this much. We lead the state, Mark, regarding our veterans, 130,000 or so in the county. And to me, it's a disgrace how many are handled with our local institutions here regarding veterans and the population. It's not good. I think more focus has to be on these individuals. They gave their time, their lives, and everything else to keep us in our way of life. And we don't show enough appreciation. We have let the ball drop. I don't think Albany gets involved enough here. What's your take?
Well, in Dutchess County, 2018 happens to be the year of the veteran, and we've engaged a lot of new resources. And I would say we don't do enough, but we've provided a lot more resources to be of assistance to, in particular, those veterans who are still trying to access their services. But as importantly, if not more importantly, those who have come home in recent years dealing with traumatic issues, housing concerns, job opportunities. We launched a peer-to-peer program that the state Senate, I commend the Republican members of the state Senate for bringing forward the peer-to-peer program. So mental health services to assist veterans who are trying to navigate returning home. And, yeah, like all things, what Albany tends to do is divest responsibility to local governments, and then we try to create an integrated system when there are hundreds upon hundreds of communities or counties and municipal governments all providing or trying to provide help to veterans. So, I do think what we've done in this county and perhaps it needs to happen at the state level is a more integrated approach. So, not only acknowledging the fact that these men and women sacrifice greatly for us, but make sure that the tools and resources are available at the local level so that veterans know, especially returning vets, they're not joining the Legions and the VFWs like they used to. So we've got to be more creative and innovative in how we communicate with vets and make sure that they have the tools in a way that they'll accept them. These are proud, and rightfully so, proud people. So being there to provide assistance in the right way is critically important. Now, hey, Jay, you keep saying about the Republican and the conservative line, and I'm grateful for the momentum and the support, but I want to make clear to your listeners, I'm not running to be governor of a political party. That seems to be what Andrew Cuomo's doing these days. My real focus is, truly, I love public service. I've been involved in trying to make government function for people. I want to be the governor of everyone in the state of New York and really work to bring people together of differing backgrounds to try to problem solve, because that's how we break the paralysis. That's how we provide opportunity to people. This tribalism and continued political warfare just isn't making New York more affordable, and it certainly has bred more corruption in Albany.
Well, listen, we're going to have you on again many more times, we hope, and continued good luck with this run, and make a difference. Many people want to see that, no doubt about it. Mark, thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'll be back.